Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Labor to know this gospel, and you shall know enough, not only regarding salvation, but also to the perfection of your knowledge. Christ, who is the wisdom of God, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, is fully and clearly revealed in the gospel. By studying to gain a knowledge of it, we shall come to the knowledge of Him. Of all knowledge, the knowledge of Christ is most sacred, so it is most satisfactory. What concerns you is that you know the love of Christ, passing knowledge. The doctrine is that it is necessary for every Christian to know the high or transcendent love of Jesus Christ. We should strive to be able to measure both the length and the breadth, and to scale the height, and to sound the depth of the love of Christ. Christ's heart is a very glorious mine of love, and it beckons us to dig very deep into it, not content ourselves with a bare discovery of some golden ore or a vein of love, which is at the top of the mine, something that we might easily discover in the very letter of the gospel. Rather, it calls us to attain to the deep, mysterious discoveries which saints by the light of the Spirit come to attain. We should endeavor to gain an experiential knowledge of this love. And certainly the knowledge of the love of Christ ought not only to be head knowledge, but a heart knowledge, an experiential knowledge, a knowledge that we experience. To apprehend the knowledge of the love of Christ more clearly, we should first note that this knowledge is of extreme importance. There are many things that may be expedient to know, but none are of such importance as the love of Christ. The knowledge of Christ's love is of necessary importance for every Christian. Some truths may be of necessary importance for some people who are anointed with a higher anointing and employed in a more special way as maybe officers in the church. But this knowledge we speak of is of necessity important for every soul that's named as under the name of Christ. And especially every soul that's united to Jesus Christ ought to labor for a solid knowledge of the love of Christ. All are necessarily bound, and the responsibility lies upon them all to gain some understanding of the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. I'm not saying that you should gain this knowledge exclusively, shutting out other truths, but inclusively and eminently driving at this in a peculiar manner. And as Christ said with reference to doing those things, you ought to have done that one especially while not leaving the other ones undone. And I say that regarding the knowledge of the love of Christ, you ought to labor for this diligently as it is more special and of necessary importance. But at the same time, you shouldn't neglect the knowledge of other gospel truths as if they were of not necessity or no importance. Never did Christ speak love more fully and more freely than when he was on the cross. Now then, if Paul determined to know nothing but this, we may safely conclude, both from his determination for himself and his desire for the Ephesians, that the knowledge of Christ's transcendent love is of necessary importance for every Christian. I'll offer some reasons to make this point clear. First, the knowledge of the love of Christ contains in it the sum of the gospel. Christ is the sum of the gospel, and love the sum of Christ. God so loved the world that he gave Christ, and Christ so loved the world that he gave himself. And these truths contain in them the marrow, or the pith, of all the gospel. Loving the Father fulfills the law, and loving Christ fulfills the gospel. You've done the law if you love God sincerely, and you understand the gospel if you know Christ's love soundly. Secondly, the knowledge of Christ's love is of necessary importance because it contains in it the highest motive to all duty. You will obey with the sweetness that is in your own spirit and with that acceptance of God, even if you don't act from a principle of love. The knowledge of the love of Christ is what chiefly inflames our love to Him. Thirdly, Christ's love is the fountain of a believer's life, and therefore it is of necessary importance for a believer to know it, inasmuch as he cannot live without it. This is life eternal. to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. If it's essential for the soul to live, it must also be of necessary importance to know Christ's love, because he cannot enjoy the one without the other. Paul says, I live by the faith. Faith is simply a higher degree of the knowledge of the love of Christ, of the Son of God who loves me. As Moses pressed the Israelites to the sincere keeping of the law, for it is your life, in like manner we may urge Christians to the serious knowledge of Christ's love, for it is our soul's life. Fourthly, the knowledge of Christ's love is the foundation of a soul's joy, and it's the Christian's comfort, and therefore of very necessary importance in this. The reason why the saints are sometimes so sad is because they don't know the love of Christ, at least in all its dimensions. For this reason, peace is joined with love. Peace and love from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 6:23. The heart of believers will be at peace if they fully understand the love of Christ. The soul is sad when it does not see the fullness of the love of Christ. Fifthly, the knowledge of Christ's love is of necessary importance because it gives rise to Christian thankfulness. Thankfulness springs from this fountain of Christ's love. And those souls most thankful for the love of Christ are those who understand it most. Ignorant and ignorance begets ingratitude. Being ignorant begets such, but knowledge makes one thankful. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, the psalmist said. Men will not be thankful for what they forget, neither can men remember what they don't know. All that Christ looks for from the saints is that they acknowledge the transcendent love he bears to them. You are bound, believers, to thank Christ for his love, and you'll never desire to cancel that bond as long as you know the highness of that love with which he has bound you. Christ's love is the legacy he has left Christians. Ask a widow whether it concerns her to know what her husband left her. Ask a child whether it's necessary to know what his father left him. They'll both say yes. Why, believers, your everlasting father and your soul's husband, Jesus, has left you nothing but his love. Surely it is necessary that you should know it. Finally, as the soul is filled with the knowledge of the love of Christ, so it's filled with the fullness of God. Those of you who are empty, does it not concern you to be filled with divine fullness, the fullness of God? Surely you'll say, yes, it does. Then know that you should be well acquainted with the love of Christ, for without that you cannot be filled. Some have thought that the knowledge is nothing but union between the object and the understanding. But observe how the apostle joins these two in the text. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Every drop of this knowledge of the love of Christ tends toward filling the soul with the fullness of God. Surely, therefore, to be filled, and to be filled with all the fullness of God and the knowledge of Christ and his love is so advantageous, it must necessarily be a thing of special importance for every Christian to labor to know. Briefly, let's turn to application. Notwithstanding the fact that the knowledge of the love of Christ is essential, it has been little studied. Men have been very diligent to search after other truths, but slow in searching after the knowledge of Christ's love. Indeed, much of the law has been discovered, but little of the gospel, especially in this point of Christ's love. Surely it's very sad to think that the knowledge of the love of Christ, being such of a necessary and high importance, has been so little inquired into. We can also lament, secondly, not only because this knowledge has only been studied slightly, but especially because that after all Christ did to show us this love, very little is gained. Beloved, the heart of Christ may be compared to a glorious book in which the mysterious history of his high love is written. But alas, who is able to open the book and discover its mysteries? When we come to heaven, we shall then be in a state of more perfect knowledge of the love of Christ there. But alas, even when we shall never be able to comprehend his love in its full perfection, that is, it cannot be fully known. He is infinite in his love. Indeed, then we shall apprehend it in the perfection of our knowledge, so far as it can be known by finite creatures like we are. We must consider that while the knowledge of the love of Christ is of very great importance, it has been little pursued now by many. And even when we make the greatest effort to search after it, we shall never be able fully to attain it, which is lamentable indeed. This truth may also be useful in reproving those who neglect to study the knowledge of the love of Christ altogether. Few men diligently study the Bible, and less study the light and luster and glory of the gospel and the love of Christ to believers. And I cannot help but think those blameworthy who in these times flaunt their abilities to hammer out some of the more controversial ideas of Scripture, and yet neglect the study of His love, which is of such a necessary importance. But much more are those to be reproved who study neither one nor the other, but spend all their time and energies in controversies and such. They busy themselves with needless questions while neglecting this one necessary thing, namely the knowledge of the love of Christ. Be reproved, you, who spend your energy obtaining knowledge of this other kind, while neglecting to study the knowledge of Christ's love, which is of the greatest importance. Lastly, we'll add a word of exhortation to stir us to study this love. You who have spent, or rather misspent, many a precious hour reading romance novels and fond histories of fiend loves, yes, you who spend all your time with some matters of importance, but still neglecting this, be stirred up now to devote yourselves to the study of that which is sweet and necessary, namely the study of the love of Christ which passes knowledge. You must understand that my desire is that you labor to be well-versed students in this business. I would not have you content yourself with generalities about it, but labor to make a particular discovery of the love of Christ in its substance, in its circumstances, and in its various actions and declarations to you. And remember that in this knowledge includes in it all the knowledge which is necessary to be known for salvation. Calvin has well observed, this knowledge is both safe and sweet. It is not the kind of knowledge that will puff up the head. This knowledge purifies the heart. Now, I'll offer some means to help you and motives to encourage you. Remember that the least beams of the love of Christ have so much light in them that they will be very sweet. And every piece or part of this knowledge will be of very special worth. For this reason, the low and imperfect knowledge of the love of Christ is of infinitely more value than the high and perfect knowledge of 10,000 things besides it. Let me add this note. It's possible for you to attain to a very sweet and satisfactory degree of this knowledge. But what, you might ask? Well, what shall I do to attain a satisfactory degree of this knowledge of the love of Christ, so that I might be able to say, as it is in this text, that the love of Christ passes knowledge for me? For that, I'll offer you a couple of directions concerning the means and how you might obtain the knowledge of the love of Christ, and also concerning the manner in which we should carry ourselves in that study. For the means, I'll just name these particulars. First, be diligent in reading the gospel. The Bible in general gives testimony concerning the person of Jesus Christ, but also in some measure concerning his affections to the saints. But the gospel demonstrates the love of Christ to believers in a more ample, clear, and satisfactory way. Second, if you would know the love of Christ, be sure to labor to get into the heart of Christ. That soul who knows little of Christ's love and its power and sweetness and spirituality knows only Christ as his head. And without the knowledge of Christ in his heart, he is still a stranger to his love. Thirdly, consult with other believers. Ask those objects of his love about the love of Christ to them. They that have experience of his love can best inform you in that. Fourth, study your own experiences. Consider how Christ has dealt particularly with your soul. Remember how long he waited for you while you were still in sin and enmity with him? Lastly, add prayer to all these. It's the choicest wisdom to be wise in the knowledge of Christ's love. And if you lack this wisdom, the Apostle James particularly says, ask of God. And if you ask God for a wise heart in this manner, he will not deny you. He gives liberally those that ask. Go to the Lord Jesus and remind him of his promise. Tell him that he's promised to send his Spirit, and that when the Spirit has come, he'll show Christ to the soul. Ask that he would shed his love abroad in your heart, that you may be able with all the saints to comprehend the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of the love of Christ, that you might know this love that passes knowledge. So having in this way given some of the means by which we may attain the knowledge of Christ's love, I'll just add a word or two concerning how we should behave ourselves and the use of these means while we study Christ's love. First, be very exact. Precision is requisite in all studies, but especially in this. Gather up all the crumbs and filings of the gold of Christ's love. The more exact you are in this study, the clearer you'll be able to comprehend his love to you. Second, be loving. Those know most of Christ's love to them who abound most in love to him. You would do well to observe the context of this in Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. The apostle said that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, breadth, and depth, and height of the love of Christ. Thirdly, be very admiring in all your study. Let all your reading be mixed with admiration for the love of Christ to you. Sit and meditate at every word of love. Stay there. Wonder. Adore the glory of that light which appears in any beams of his love to you. And in the admiration of that love which appears, cast yourself at the feet of Christ and cry out, oh, the depth of love in thee. Oh, the riches of love. The riches of your heart to me. Also, when you find yourself unable to comprehend the highness of this love, just imitate the philosopher and cast yourself into that sea of love which you would attempt to fathom or sound and yet are unable to. Merely think about it. Let that love engulf you, for you know that you cannot comprehend it yourself. Immerse and drown yourself in that vast ocean of your Savior's heart. And because you're not able with any measure to sound its depth, think and sink your very soul, that it may be able to taste that which your study would not allow you to see, and the Spirit will help you in this. I might add that all the time you spend in this study will be very delightful, very profitable, and you won't have any reason to regret any of it. Consider the times in which we live. How little love is there in these days? Surely the love of many has grown cold and is little practiced. Though many complain of the lack of love, and seem to force the exercise of love, yet where is the man that makes it the sweetness of his life to let others taste the sweetness of his own love? Surely while there is such little love among men, it's even more essential that we study the love of Christ and the love that we can find in him. And finally, especially consider the sweetness that the knowledge of the love of Christ will bring to your soul in any case, in anything. Little do you know what comfort is wrapped up in the knowledge of Christ's love. How often does a thought of this revive the spirits of the fainting saints? With what composure of spirit is a believer able to behave himself in any tribulation or affliction when he's without the knowledge of the love of his Savior? Without the knowledge of this love, nothing will be sweet. Without the knowledge of his love, nothing can be bitter. And this is that which we shall come to as the last thing observed from these words, namely then, to let you see how sufficient the love of Christ is for supporting believers in any tribulation. And this we will look at next time.